Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise. You are here on F4W Online. It is September 27th, and we are going to be chatting about NXT, not 2.0. I'm so used to saying 2.0. I had to stop myself there for a second. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for popping into these shows. I love that you guys come in here each and every single week. As you guys know, I'm live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here on F4W Online. And let's get into today's show because I have a special guest who was with me here last week, Cole Henderson. Cole, thank you so much for hopping in once again. My voice is officially back. I just have like a nagging cough and I don't trust myself to do a 1 hour show. And just like I have this fear, Cole, this fear of essentially like having to cough and having to go off the screen and having no one here to host the show. That's my fear.
just, you know, if there's anything that an audience loves to hear, it's just someone just hacking up a lung. That's all that they want to hear. And they're just like, oh, is she okay? And like, you'll be like, no, I'm okay, guys. But you don't get that kind of back and forth with somebody. So like, at least if you cough, I can be like, Denise, are you okay? Are you all right? But that's what I'm here to do. And you know what? It's great. Thank you so much for having me on again. It was so much fun last week. And we had a little Steiner math in today's episode. And you know, not all podcasts are created equal. Because you look at me, you look at Denise Salcedo, you can see that statement is not true. I'm ready to talk some NXT 1, 2, 3, 4.5, the next generation, Deep Space Nine. I don't know what we're calling it these days.
I don't know either, but Cole, I love it that you just threw in some like some, you know, the Steiner math impression. I appreciate that. Getting us going to a good vibe here today.
If anyone needs to know the wrestling mark status of me, I pretty much got that first like 50% down like by brain power. But once you start getting to the numbers, then it gets a little complicated.
Yeah, it's like a whole, like I remember. So for Halloween last year, I dressed up as Scott Steiner and I did the whole math promo thing. It's up on my YouTube channel, right? And I remember like doing the promo here, but I had to have the script. So I was like reading it verbatim. And it got to the point where I was like, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Like this is, I was like 666.633.13, blah, 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 blah. You know, all of this stuff. It was nuts. And then I got gassed out doing that.
The good news is that Scott Steiner did not know what he was talking about either during that. And really the only thing that you need to know from that whole segment is just in life, kids, just always remember, throw Kurt Angle into the mix because that's the missing part of every equation. You just got to throw Kurt Angle into the mix and there you go.
Added to the math exam. I love it. Alrighty, guys. Well, let's get into this NXT review for today. But before we get started, just a heads up, as you guys know, this is an interactive stream. So please send in your thoughts as we go out throughout this entire show. Let us know what you guys thought, how you guys felt about certain things, how you felt about the show overall. If you want to help support this podcast, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point. A super chat gets your question, comment, or statement read on the stream. And it also helps keep us funded, helps keep us, you know, all of that good stuff. So Cole, I want to start off because I love to start off, you know, kind of talking overall about the show and, you know, how, you know, I think it's just a good way to summarize how you felt about today's episode of NXT 2.0. Oh my God. I don't know what to say. NXT 2.0, not 2.0.
They're not helping. They're not helping this though, because they keep like, they have the same like rainbow logo on the microphones and
they have the rainbow logo everywhere except on the actual, like the actual, you know, wall there. And then they also have the NXT logo in some like little things here and there. So I don't even know.
I think
anymore.
The key is just to call it something different every time throughout the show. So NXT 2 Electric Boogaloo, this is what we're doing. We got it going. Who knows what's going on, but you're asking, how did I feel about today's NXT episode, Denise? I feel like I blinked and there was a lot that happened, but also like not really a ton that happened either. Like that was like super significant. It seems like we're kind of trying to get to that Halloween Havoc pay-per-view and they tossed in our, I mean, again, we've been talking about the promotion of NXT and how it's going to be rebranded. We're still stuck in that kind of weird territory. So
Because, yeah, like as Sheldon mentioned here, it was pre-taped. It's, I think this was like shot like what, September 14th. So that was like, you know, a couple weeks ago now. So it just drives me crazy though, because the colors, like, they don't match. So it does like drive me crazy. But obviously we know that it was pre-taped, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think once we officially turn the page, I think things are going to make a lot more sense for right now. But it seems like we're kind of in a holding pattern. There's definitely some good stuff in here, particularly Mr. Dragunov being back. But there was a lot of other stuff in here that we'll touch on and go like, that sure did happen.
Like, that's the thing about NXT today's, like, today's NXT wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was like an okay show, but it wasn't like I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my God, we had such a great match, or oh, this was such a great moment. It just wasn't a bad show, but there was nothing really too memorable out of it. So it was like a show. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was mid. We got a comment here from Dan who says, I thought they would air some kind of short vid with Sean's voice telling that they were going to be remodeling the venue and the entire brand, but nope. Yeah, you know, I think a follow-up to that, you know, the reveal of the NXT, the new logo, I think like maybe a follow-up, like, hey, you know, but I think that they don't want to like put it out there like, hey, we're rebranding again, or I don't know how to say it. Like, I feel like they just don't want to make like a big hoorah about it just yet, you know, like they're waiting till they get all of their, you know, their dots side, their eyes, what is it, their T's crossed, their
T's
eyes
crossed, eyes dotted. Yep.
Saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, see, I'm blanking here. Thank you, Cole, for this. But, like, that's how I feel. Like, I feel like they're just waiting to get all their ducks in a row. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, I don't – it's definitely not WWE style to do anything, like, kind of halfway, I feel like. I feel like usually, like, when they go in a quote-unquote new direction, even though this is definitely harkening back to what NXT used to be, it's still new based on the fact that we've had 2.0 for a year. And usually when they do that, they love to just throw it in your face. Hey, we're doing this new thing. Hey, by the way, it's new. Hey, by the way, it's awesome. And we're very much like kind of just dipping our toes in it a little bit with the logo. And like, that's it. So we'll see. Hopefully the next coming weeks, we'll get a little bit more of what's going on.
Yeah, I think once we're done out of like the pre-tape stuff, then, you know, we'll obviously get whatever it is that they're planning to do, because they got to obviously switch it up. They can't leave it like this. It feels like we started something and obviously we haven't completed the entire project yet. So it does still look like a little funky and you're like getting used to it just a little bit. But let's get into the show, because like we mentioned, there were some good stuff. And I think that we started off the show on a really good note, because, you know, the big thing last week was that Ilya Dragunov returned, and everybody's like, oh, okay, he's back. He's immediately in the title picture. This completely levels things up. Basically, this was a really straightforward, this is what's happening intro for the show. Basically, we had Ilya Dragunov going out there, and he's talking about how pain has always been his best friend. I freaking love that line, by the way, because I'm like, bro, we've seen your battles with Gunther, well, with Walter then. We know that pain is your best friend. Like, you, this man can handle pain more so than, you know, a couple, you know, definitely more than you and I, Cole. You know, he's talking about returning to achieve his destiny. And then finally, we have JD McDonagh, who comes out, and, you know, he's calling him a sneaky little rat. Ilya calls JD a sneaky little rat for basically following him. Wait, was it the other way around? No, JD called Ilya a sneaky little rat for calling him for following him, right? Excuse me. Sorry, guys. And then finally, we get Bron Breakker out here, and Breakker basically says, like, he alludes to the Scott Steiner math. He does a little bit of that. And then afterwards, he basically says, like, you know, I can count. And he leads to this announcement, and everybody already knew that it was coming because the entire CWC was chanting triple threat. But we're officially getting a triple threat match between JD McDonagh, Bron Breakker, and Ilya Dragunov at Halloween Havoc for the NXT Championship. So, this, to me, feels like the ideal way to go about this, because we didn't know how this was going to play out. We didn't know if they were going to just do Bron Breakker and JD McDonagh and then, you know, wrap things up there and then go into, you know, Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov. We really did not know exactly how they were going to go about this. So the fact that they're doing the triple threat, to me, makes it just so much better.
100%. Yeah, I think especially since we've already had Bron and JD do a main event one time, something to kind of spice this up, and bringing in a returning Ilya Dragunov is about the best thing you could do. I mean, the other option is what, to throw Tyler Bate back in there and have a triple threat between them, I suppose. But Dragunov being healthy is obviously huge. Obviously, we know about all of his battles with Walter, Gunter, whatever you want to call him these days. But you know, his battles back there are just like stuff, like some of the best matches that you could watch over the past couple of years. This is like a slam dunk. I feel like it's a triple threat. You can finish this many ways and everyone can kind of come out of this pretty protected. No one's going to look bad in this match. I think it's three really, really, really good performers. I think, even from last week, we saw McDonough and Tyler Bate put on a great match. I think these three are primed and ready to give us, something really, really, special at Halloween Havoc.
And it finally feels like there's something to get excited about for Bron Breakker's reign.
Yes.
But it's so weird because, like, I almost feel like it's weird because even though this is like my favorite thing, so not, I can't even say favorite thing, you know, but this has my interest more so than some of the other storylines that Bron Breakker has been in. Obviously, you know, I enjoyed everything that he was doing previously, you know, with both Tyler Bate and JD McDonagh and all of that. And, but the thing is here though, that I'm like sort of more excited just to kind of see who's going to take the belt off of Bron Breakker versus me being excited about like Bron Breakker necessarily just like being in this feud. Like, I'm more excited to see who they're going to trust or who they're going to count on, who's the next chosen person to basically take that championship. So I'm kind of in the phase where like I'm ready to move on to something else right now. And I know that basically, like, I feel like I've said this before, and this is literally because like I really do think that they kind of drop the ball a little bit with Bron Breakker's reign as NXT champion. And so I really just want to see the belt on Ilya Dragunov. Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I feel like, you know, him coming back, or him coming into NXT, him going right into this match, like part of me feels kind of positive, or maybe I've gotten my hopes up, but I kind of feel like Ilya Dragunov may actually become champion. And I don't know, maybe I'm just getting my hopes up here, but do you feel like they're just going to have Bron Breakker run through both of these guys, or do you actually think that there's going to be some sort of title change?
This is tough because I feel like a lot of the similar conversations were had when Tyler Bates showed up. I feel like a lot of those conversations are very similar with Ilya Dragunov being here now, as far as like, oh, Tyler Bate comes in. Boy, this guy could be really good to kind of like hold on to this belt. You know, there's obviously the idea of, you know, not if, but when is Bron Breakker going to go up to the main roster at some point? He's obviously had a very long title reign down here in NXT. He's kind of running out of opponents and good stories to tell, which is why I think a lot of like the feelings that you're having, as far as like, it's not so much about Braun's reign as much as it is about who's going to take it away from Braun. And I thought Bate was a particularly great choice. And Dragunov obviously fits in that same exact vein, because if you're trying to rebrand NXT and you want it to harken back to the black and gold days, and you want those guys who, you know, those were those events, those NXT takeovers were the show stealing parts of the weekend. People were talking about those main events, even, and not even just the main events, just all the matches on the takeovers as the matches of the entire weekend during WWE pay-per-views. They used to be that show stealing platform. So you have Bate, who can obviously put on just banger matches. Dragunov, we know, we've seen what he can do with Gunther, and as we'll talk about later today, he still looks great. So, I mean, is this the time to pull the trigger? I think a lot of us are kind of, I mean, and this is no offense to Braun, but I think we're just kind of ready for a new champion for NXT. And much as we're ready for this new brand and this new color scheme, I think we're also ready for a new champion.
Well, with a new color scheme's got to come a new champion.
Gotta come a new champion, right? And then you can just kind of close the door on the NXT 2.0 chapter and get Braun and Toxic Attraction up there. Let's go. Come on, people.
We got a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson, who says, All I want is for someone to take the title off of Braun. I've been saying it. His reign has dropped the prestige of the NXT title, and feuds were okay. Like, I feel bad because it wasn't necessarily his like, it wasn't him, I would say, that dropped the prestige of the NXT championship. It was just more so the string of storylines that were not necessarily the best that basically led to, you know, a little bit of uninterest with Bron Breakker. And it is crazy because it really went from like, oh man, like, this is the guy, like, this is what we're really pumped for, to like all of a sudden where it's like, all right, who's next? Who are we going with? And it has nothing to, I feel like it's not Braun. It's more so, again, the storylines. Like, I really do think that Dolph Ziggler run, like him winning the championship off of Bron Breakker, like, really impacted Braun's reign more than, you know, maybe some of us might have thought at the moment. But I do really think it really put the brakes on him. Like, can you imagine if they would have kicked it off with like Bron Breakker, like, just like beating through Dolph Ziggler and not having Dolph Ziggler be, you know, taking the title away from him at any point. And then, unfortunately, you know, we go into the Joe Gacy stuff. That was completely like, it didn't work with Bron Breakker and who he is and the kind of champion that he's supposed to be. That didn't work. And then, you know, we kind of just went in from there. After that, things started to pick up a little bit more. But unfortunately, I do think that the rocky start did kind of halt some of that momentum for Breakker. So anyways, I mean, this could be their chance. Like, I know we have a couple people here that they believe that he's definitely going to keep the belt, but this triple threat could really be like the, you know, maybe like a game changer. Try to see Bron Breakker maybe in a different light right now. So we'll see what happens, what they do with all of that here. Let's get some thoughts in here. We got some more comments. This is from Kenny Williams. It says that Ilya's the man. Dude's work rate is unmatched. I completely agree. Like, I'm so excited to see what they do with Ilya on NXT, but it's more so of like, well, I'm excited to a certain extent, Cole, because really, like, who are some of the guys that you're, like, really excited to see Ilya in the ring with? Like, right. Let's be real. There's only a couple of guys. Maybe that's obviously, you know, JD McDonagh. That's Tyler Bate. That's Bron Breakker. He's knocking them all out in this, you know, first match. And then, you know, there's also Cameron Grimes. And I'm trying to think, like, who else is somebody that you would be, like, genuinely, like, excited to see just because, you know, Ilya Dragunov's going to have, like, an incredible match?
That's, I think you kind of named them all. Like, I was like, the one who's kind of missing out of here is Cameron Grimes, which, as you brought up on the show many times, it's like, when are we just going to get Cameron Grimes out of here and push him up? I think
Carmelo Hayes is another one. Okay, Carmelo they can Hayes have a fun
is,
match.
Is,
yeah,
is definitely is on board. I am so on board with anything Carmelo Hayes with either Tyler Bate or Dragunov. I think, especially now that, like, his situation, I think we're still kind of distracted by kind of what happened to Carmelo Hayes the last couple weeks, because it's kind of been jarring. But we can't forget how amazing of a performer Carmelo Hayes is. He would be amazing with those two. But other than that, I think you definitely are starting to then kind of see that depth of the men's division kind of be tested. And it's like, then you get down to your next hottest guy is Joe Gacy. I don't know if that's really something I'm really looking forward to yet. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All I know is like, I'm very excited about this triple threat, 100%. And it's funny you do bring up the Dolph Ziggler thing, because I think Ilya said, like, you have this unstoppable machine in Bron Breakker. And that was the first thought that popped into my head was, well, Dolph beat him. So, like,
yeah,
that did really hurt his reign when like, as time, like, has gone on, time has not been kind to that.
And I remember, like, doing that show, you know, the post review show right afterwards, and being like, oh my God, like, this is where we're at. And I remember, like, the chat was kind of torn during this period, where some people were like, oh, this is a really cool moment for Dolph Ziggler. But then there was other people that were like, no, like, this was not great. So that was a really, like, I would say, like, a divisive thing, where some people were like, oh, hell yeah, like, give Dolph Ziggler his flowers, let him have his moment. But I think in hindsight, it just took away more from Bron Breakker when he really needed it than actually adding to the show. And I feel like they obviously did it to, like, you know, give NXT 2.0 a little bit of that boost. But what they did in turn, in my opinion, is called back what could have been like a great start to a championship run for Breakker. We got a super chat here from Steven who says, prayers to all the wrestlers who live in Florida. You know, I've been following the news with the hurricane, with Hurricane Ian, and sending love to everybody that's obviously impacted by all of this. Thank you so much to Steven, though. But yeah, seriously, I would not want to be having to worry about, you know, my life and my home right now.
And there's a lot of people obviously who are in this industry covering this stuff that are down there and also in danger too. So just everybody down there, stay safe. And we just hope for the best.
Exactly. All right. So let's go ahead and move on from here. I know it's always tough to transition from like serious topics back into the world of wrestling.
Hopefully we can, and hopefully everyone is safe down there, but hopefully we can provide a little bit of entertainment.
There you go.
To kind of a dark circumstance. So hopefully, you know, there's a lot more fun to get to here on NXT.
So Fallon Henley versus Mandy Rose. Yes. I did not hate this. I actually enjoyed this. I love that Fallon Henley was like being able to show off like how fiery she was during this match. They kind of gave a lot to Fallon Henley, which I really do think she needed because, you know, I think that they've been kind of like wanting, like it's been clear that they've been wanting to make her a fan favorite on NXT, but you know, like they're, obviously, the fans, we just need to see, you know, a little bit more, like really give us a reason other than, you know, her being likable and, you know, hanging out with the guys and being, you know, a guy's girl, girl's guy. I don't know what, like, you know, that kind of vibe.
Hot tomboy, if you will.
I don't think she's a tomboy.
No.
It's more of like, she's just like, you know, she gets down, right? Like she's one of the dudes. She go to the bar, you know, you go. She's one of the guys.
Yeah.
So she's likable in that sense, but they really haven't given us that much more for Fallon Henley. And I feel like this match with Mandy Rose, and I'm probably forgetting some of the other stuff Fallon Henley has done, but this to me really felt like the most like memorable one-on-one singles match that Fallon Henley has had. Like I was trying to remember some of the other ones that really stood out and nothing really popped into my mind. So I'm like, okay, this to me feels like the first time where I'm like, really, really seen the potential that Fallon Henley can have. Obviously, Mandy Moore gets this win, fine, but this was a fun match. Did I say Mandy Moore?
You said Mandy Moore.
I was like, why is he looking at me like that?
That was amazing. Mandy Rose with, that's why I'm here. That's why you got me here.
I'm on... Jesus Christ, like I'm on so much cough syrup. I am on so much, like, look at me. I smell like halls.
Hey, you know what? Mandy Moore could probably hold her own in there. You know, let's face it.
It's funny because I looked at your face and I'm like, Mandy Rose won this match. Like, why is he looking at me like I got the results of this match wrong? And then I was like, what did I say? And then I heard my words back in my own head and I was like, did I say more?
There was, again, like I said, a lot of things happened on this NXT. So we got
Ed Jones says a huge upset for Mandy Moore.
I don't know how fast.
Mandy Rose, oh wait, it was a good match putting over Mandy Moore kissing like candy. Mandy Moore gets the win. You know, Mandy Moore's career has really gone downhill. You know, she went from a top show at This Is Us on NBC, and now she's on NXT 2.0.
She's getting W's though, and getting W's is big. And I don't know how Fallon Henley's going to recover from this. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, as far as Mandy Rose is concerned, I think again this is a testament to what NXT. I feel like this is going to be the same thing we always say with Mandy Rose. But as far as NXT for her and her experience down there, how beneficial it's been. Like she was able to make Fallon Henley look like $1 million in here. And that's not to say Fallon Henley wasn't bringing it. It's just obviously whenever it comes to wrestling, it takes two to tango. And Mandy Rose shows that she can have someone kind of have their moment, even though we kind of knew like when this match is set up, like Mandy Rose is going to win this. Like there's no reason for her to lose this, but she's able to let Fallon Henley get a display off of, we're able to see what she's all about, see her personality, and then be able to have Mandy Rose put on a good performance in ring, which by the way, she looked really good in this match, I thought.
She did.
And the big knee at the end, I thought was awesome. The camera work on that was perfect too. And it allows her to just keep progressing her story. I mean, Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction are legit. And at some point, like I know we're all counting down the clock. When's it going to happen? But at the end of the day, like we know we got something really, really good here with Toxic Attraction and Mandy Rose, and good for Fallon Henley. I think hopefully this is something that gets her going and boosts her career here on NXT.
And you know what really had me pumped and excited? Alba Fire.
Yeah.
So she did the whole, like she had the words "and new" on the cement and then she set them on fire. Like, I feel like, you know what? I'm a little bit upset. Okay. I'm a little bit upset because I feel like there hasn't been enough love for the Alba Fire character, okay? Like, I know the character may feel like a little Disney kind of, you know, ish a little bit, but I really freaking love it. Like, I feel like I'm the one of the few people that really see the potential in this whole fire thing. I'm so sold on it. Like, this is actually one of my favorite, like, gimmicks that they have on NXT right now, like one of, because they could still do like a whole lot more, clearly, whatever, but I really like Alba Fire, and it's just, she's getting me with the simple just lighting fire up. I don't know why, it's cool. Maybe it's a female thing, I don't know.
I mean, and I, like, immediately as soon as, like, obviously she underwent kind of the name change and character change with that, I got like Game of Thrones vibes immediately, and it was just like
Katniss Everdeen Cole.
Also true, also fair, like, but everything as far as like just kind of getting like a little bit medieval with all this stuff, and but she's also kind of like, she's the cool girl, she's got the bat, like she's got the hair, she looks, she's got the, you know, she's kind of like, she harkens back like to this like kind of past element and kind of brings the present all together. I just want to know how they get the flame just at the top of the bat, and that's it. I think that's very impressive. I don't know how they do that. What's the physics behind that?
I don't know, Cole, but they are a $1 billion company. I feel like they could afford a fancy bat with flames. Right.
That's fair. I mean, sure. Yeah. And they can afford to write and new.
Yeah, I was going to say, they can afford to do however they work that stuff.
And by the way, did you notice the hashtag that was on the and new?
Yeah, they got to do the hashtag, right? Yeah. Hashtag make sure and new.
It's got a trend. Not only can it be on fire, but it has to trend. No, I totally agree with you. I think Alba Fire is doing a really good job. And again, it comes down to sometimes you get tossed a character and the performer's got to be able to perform it. We talked a little bit about this with Wendy Chu last week. Alba Fire, it's obviously a little less extreme than Wendy Chu, but is kind of like, she embodies the character. She fits the character. When I look at her, like, she feels the part, and you kind of feel that emotion with her. So, and I'm really excited to see her and Mandy Rose in a match here for the title.
We got to have a new champion, but here we go. Cole, this is the question I've been dying to ask you.
Okay.
So for our viewers watching at home, Cole's got a big day tomorrow. Cole, was that not supposed to be revealed on the air?
I mean, I don't know. Now you're putting me on the spot. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well, here's my question to you. Do you write in your journal? Are you a journaler?
Sometimes I am.
Yeah. Oh, do you really have a journal?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't do it often, but sometimes, you know, you get to certain points, you just got to kind of write out everything. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't really know, like, how many people, you know, really do write in a journal.
You know, every once in a while,
especially like, you know, adults, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes you get it, you know, sometimes we all go through all kinds of things and things get a little overwhelming. And sometimes you just got to write it all down and figure out what's actually going on. So it is a very good strategy. I'm sure you do it as well. Like,
no, I don't have time for a journal, Cole.
I mean, I think like you tweeted out, like there's all the things in your office of all your ideas. I've seen it. It's all there.
So journal.
But you just write things out. It's the whole purpose of it. Anyways, where are you going with this, Denise?
I'm going to Apollo Crews.
Okay.
Because he's very connected with his feelings.
He is.
And he's always journaling and, you know, writing things. I mean, he's literally putting on paper that, you know, he got a taste of vengeance from Grayson Waller because Grayson Waller tried to permanently remove his vision. And I mean, the man is like putting this down on his journal. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's like,
it was a great transition is what it was, Denise. She does television.
I'm just trying to figure out like how many people actually write in their journal. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be weird about this. It's just that it's a little interesting, you know, to me.
I mean, I think it's more just like the fact that like we saw him like bleeding out of an eyeball, and I don't think we necessarily saw like the emotional like connection,
right?
Apollo Crews promo coming right after, like you see blood and you're like, I'm gonna, you know, kick your butt, I'm gonna take you out this Saturday.
And he's journaling
and no, the dude,
he's been journaling though.
The dude is in tune with his feelings. His eyeball made him feel a certain way. Denise, I think you got to respect Apollo Crews' boundaries here. He's clearly going through something really hard right now. And Grayson Waller really tried to do a number on him. And then like Grayson Waller was like shown there with the red eyes and like looked like he was going to cry. It was a weird promo. That was very strange. I don't even know where to go off of that. It's just weird. I don't know what we watched.
Well, he closed it out with, "I'm not done with you, bitch."
I mean, we do.
He did. Apollo Crews closed it out that way.
So he was angry. Okay, you know.
You know, he's a very complicated, complex man, Cole.
Yes,
bleeding from his eyes, wanting vengeance, journaling, calling guys bitches. I mean, what else is there? You know,
there's layers to Apollo Crews here now. You know, he really came down to NXT and was like, I need to see my soul. I need to go find it. And Grayson Waller figured it out.
Marvin sends in a comment saying the Apollo Vision stuff reminds me of that show, That's So Raven, when I was a kid. I used to love that show.
Oh my God.
That used to be one of my go-to.
Throwback. Wow. That's So Raven.
She used to do the... You remember that, right? It was like, oh, yeah. Raven's going to have a vision. I used to love her best friend. I think it was Chelsea or something.
Oh God. I don't remember.
Best friend's name.
I guess we're going to have to do a series now where we go watch back all of That's So Raven. So this is going to happen. Let's get this going.
Zeno Hour says, listen, the Punisher and Batman have journals, so Apollo can have a journal with visions.
You see, you know, it's.
I'm just being so, like, you know, rude that I clearly just, you know, forgot that men can journal.
I feel like you were like, you're going to like message me after this.
Here's
like,
the thing.
Cole, we're going to dunk on journals. Okay. I'm bringing you on this show.
Here's the thing. Like, okay. If someone were to say, like, if you were to ask the viewers, hey, chat, who here looks like they're most likely to journal? I can guarantee that 99% of the comments would say Denise. But it ended up being you, Cole. You journal, I don't. And I think that's very interesting because you would expect it to be the other way around.
You know, I zig, you zag. You know, this is what makes this magical. This is what makes this the podcast experience.
I'm going to get canceled, Cole. I'm going to get canceled because I didn't know very many men journaled.
I didn't say you were gonna get canceled. This is all you right now. You're leaving this in the internet's hands. I will say it's gonna be taken gravely out of context. I'm here to defend Denise because
you're again, gonna get canceled for supporting me.
Oh god Denise, I came on this show and I just wanted to talk some wrestling, and here we are both gonna be taken down by the internet. What can I say?
Well, I just want to say that I support anybody and everybody who journals. All right.
Especially
and that
Apollo.
Includes Apollo Crews, even though he's writing out there that he wants vengeance on this man. Okay. Moving on from here, we got Wesley versus Tony B, and this was a qualifier to get into that ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. This match ended in an rather interesting way. Now, I don't read spoilers for these tape shows because, you know, I need to dedicate my time to these shows and I don't want things to get ruined. If I'm spending time, I want to be a little bit, you know, find out what's going on my own, right? And we ended up having a rather interesting ending where Tony D looks to get hurt apparently on his knee. At first you don't even notice it, because at first I thought, okay, well, he gets hit on the head with the turnbuckle, is it a head thing? But then in the replay you're like, oh, Wesley trips them, and so apparently it's a knee thing. And this ends in a referee stoppage. Now, I don't know if this is for sure that like Tony D is injured or something. If he's not, I do not know if what the whole situation with Tony D is, but if he's not, this was not like the best way to end this match for Wesley. He's had some really bad luck on NXT recently, but obviously if this was legit, then, you know, it is what it is, right? What did you think about this?
Well, Denise, this is actually very interesting because it does harken back to something we were talking about last week when we were talking about Wesley. And he cut a promo last week, kind of being like, yeah, I got my head kicked in. It sucked, but now I've got a chance to qualify for the North America title. And I happened to mention, like, I thought I heard him talk about in that promo that he was offered basically like a free ticket into that matchup, but he decided he didn't want to. And I was like, I have to watch it back. To which you said, no, Cole, don't watch it back. But you know what I did, Denise?
You did that to yourself.
Do you know what I did, Denise? I got it right here in my notes. Okay, you ready? So here's what he said. Here's what Wesley said. Now, there's a rumor going around where I had the option to not even do a qualifying match. And it's true. I refuse special treatment. The WWE Universe entrusted me to walk out with the North American title last week, so I feel like I let them down and I gotta earn it, is what he said. First of all, this is why baby faces are going like, I need to take the hard road. Like, no, just take the match. Like, dude, you're good. You got it. It's all good. People want to see you in there. So I think where this ending comes into play is I believe that I don't think it's necessarily as, like, it is not a serious angle. It is very much like a story angle here where Wesley's going to get there and he's probably going to cut another promo next week where he's like, I don't know if I really deserve to be in this match, and kind of this weird, like, babyface guilt complex kind of thing going on in here. And now this makes me worried that, like, he's going to, like, somehow accidentally, like, remove the strap when he's falling down off the ladder or something like that. And he's going to be, I don't deserve, like, hi, this is not an angle to, like, get me excited about someone and root for someone. Like, I don't want to feel bad for you. I want you to just, like, go out there and show out. Like, that's cool. Like, and if you got voted into the match, WWE gave you a shot in there, like, you're a totally believable guy to be in the North American title match. So I don't know, Denise. I didn't like any of this.
So here's the thing, because we've been talking about, you know, trying to figure out what Wesley's character is, because, you know, he's been lost. They've been, yeah, you know, trying to figure out what to do with him ever since the whole MSK breakup thing, right? So what you're telling me now is that there is a good chance that his character is that he just has, like, some sort of inferiority complex.
That's kind of the vibes I'm getting of, like, he's a very, like, obviously he's, like, a very positive dude. Like, he believes in himself, but, like, he feels like he's got this, like, this need to kind of prove it to everybody else that, like, hey, I am as good as I am. And it's like, well, wait, you got voted in by the NXT Universe, whether, you know, let's talk about votes being rigged or whatnot. Who knows? Who knows how all that stuff works? But, like, you got voted in. So, like, clearly, like, if that's the case via storyline, like, people like you and believe in your ability. So, like, just believe in yourself, dude. You're good. Like, I don't know. It just, like, if he just won this match, it would have been fine. I don't feel like I feel like doing this is adding this weird layer to Wesley's character that I don't know if I'm all for. I'm not optimistic about where it's going to go for him.
I don't think I've been optimistic for a while. No. Because I could only think of one good thing that has happened to Wesley since this breakup. And that one good thing was that one promo that he cut, like, months ago.
Yes. Yes.
Where he was, like, crying and just being so emotional about the whole thing, the whole break. I don't want to say breakup because it wasn't, like, a breakup, but the separation, okay? Separation, I think, is a better word. And that was the only thing that I can remember being somewhat memorable for Wesley. And the fans want to root for him, clearly.
Totally.
You know, when we were talking about people that should face Ilya Dragunov, there was a bunch of people in the chat saying Wesley.
There you go. Like,
so
we
clearly
don't...
the people want to see him, you know, do well.
And, like, all he needs to do is, like, he doesn't need this extra layer. Just, like, go in the ladder match and, like, steal the show. Like, do some spots in there that really steal the show and get people to believe that you, like, are going to win this match. Like, you can do so much more in the ring that I feel like this is just them trying too hard to get us to root for Wesley, when I feel like there seems to be a natural edge of people who want to, like, especially based off that promo a few months ago, that want to root for Wesley. And, like, you look at him, totally likable guy, good in the ring. Like, just let him do the talk. I think this is just too, like, this is where sometimes it feels like the story can kind of feel like it's too forced. So I don't know.
Right.
It didn't seem like it was necessary to me.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody here in the chat, it's like, oh, you know, is he really hurt? Is he not hurt? Obviously, we hope that he's not hurt, like, yeah, legit. But then, if he's not hurt legit, that was a terrible way to end this match.
Yeah.
You know, so it really just depends. And obviously, I'm sure, you know, there'll be clarification on this, you know, in the coming days or whatever, as to whether or not this is legit or not.
Indeed.
Because it was super, like, let's just say this wasn't legit. It was super lame. The way,
yes,
that if this was done on purpose, it was super lame.
If this
and
is story,
yeah, if it was story, but it, obviously if it wasn't story, then, you know, things happen, right? So we'll see. I don't know, but yeah, things have not been looking too great for Wes as of now. But yeah, you know what? He's officially in the NXT North American ladder match for the championship. So there you go. Good for him. Now, I'm really excited to talk about this next thing because I don't know why. I do know why, actually.
What are you talking about, Denise? What are you talking about?
Pretty Deadly and their vignette. Because, you know, I think I had an understanding of what Pretty Deadly was all about. Mm-hmm. And I thought I knew, I thought I understood Pretty Deadly, right? And now I'm coming to realize that maybe I don't. Am I reading too much into this Pretty Deadly thing? What did you make of this? Okay, so we had a vignette. Okay, really quickly. We had a vignette where Pretty Deadly's talking about how much, you know, how their lives are better. And it's kind of like, to me, I kind of saw it as like vlog style because they're like, we start our day. You think because of our gorgeous bodies, we wake up at 4 a.m. But no, we wake up at 10 a.m. We eat breakfast in bed. And then they're like... eating breakfast in bed, like feeding each other. Yep. And then they're like, I don't want to say flashing each other, but they're like flashing the championship belt. So yep. It's supposed to be, it's a very, very sexy kind of video, you know? And then afterwards it shows them like working out and just like, you know, thriving together. Yeah. But I'm a little confused, but before I get to why I'm confused, Cole, what did you make of this?
I can't, I'm just like on the edge of my seat to be like, why are you, I mean, they're living.
My Denise, thing was, I'm confused because pretty, okay, maybe you could explain it better to me or maybe the chat can explain it better to me because the whole thing is right. Like they're friends and they're like very feminine. We know that that's the whole thing, right? They're like, you know, they're fabulous, right? They're perfect, but they're, you know, they're a little bit more feminine, right? Okay, fine. But I thought they were just like friends. But in this vignette, they kind of made them seem like lovers.
They
did. You not get that? I mean, they're sleeping.
100%. Yeah.
They're sharing the same bed.
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't know. And I'm like, wait, so are we supposed to believe that they're lovers or are they just best friends? Are they just like really close friends? That's my question.
Yeah. Are they just like that in sync that's just like, that's just like what they do. And like, that's just how they show that. I don't know. I don't know. I see where you're going. And
Ed Jones wants to know, are they friends or friends?
Or are they friends? Yeah. I mean,
that's what I want to know. That's what I was looking at it. And I was like, wait, hold the phone. It was the bed stuff that got me where I was like, wait. And then they're like feeding each other. And then what's his face is like laying on the bed, you know, legs fully open.
Oh, it's very suggestive. 100%. Yeah, right? No. And by the way, let us both stress here. Like either way, great. Good for you guys. Like this is awesome. Like whatever you guys work, it's working for you. You guys are champions. You guys are doing great. I'd like to also point out that they take 3 hours apparently looking in the mirror and trying on outfits. So that's part of it.
I mean, they have a fabulous life. Let's be real. That's what we learned from this. They have a fabulous life.
They're living the good life. Like they're happy campers. They're doing great. Everything's awesome, Pretty Deadly.
I love this though. I gotta tell you, if they do more of this, I am so on board with it because I kind of loved it, you know? The facial expressions, the innuendos, I guess you can say. I don't know. This could sound bad, but I just love the you know, putting it all out there. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah. Let's talk about
each other's hair too.
Yes.
Dude, I'm married. I've been with the same man for about 15 years. This homeboy has never brushed my hair once. Okay. Uh-oh. He's never fed me in my bed.
Someone's getting called. Oh, shoot. Someone's getting called out. Oh.
What is this? Okay. We don't stand in front of the mirror like, oh, look at you. Look at me. Ooh.
Would you now? So now that you've seen the Pretty
Deadly,
I'm not going to do this.
Are you kidding me?
Is this like a conversation? Like after you're like, so I saw this vignette. I don't know if you saw it, but like, brushing hair, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't want him touching my hair. Not with the brush. Like, no, this
they
hair.
said they took like
boundaries,
a whole
Cole.
They took like a whole 1 hour to brush hair. Is that how long it I mean, I got the long hair, it doesn't take me an hour. So that's a lot. I mean, how much can you really brush hair in an hour?
There you go. That's a conversation starter for your date tomorrow. Oh, she's boy. Gonna think you're a creep if you're like, so dude, would you like me to brush your hair?
Oh boy. Oh god.
Cole, do not do that.
Cat's out of the bag. She stopped herself at one point in the show. She just couldn't help herself. I am on Denise Salcedo's show. I don't know what else I expect. She's looking for the deed. She wants to know. Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But yeah, I think, you know, as far as the vignette goes, it was great. I mean,
yeah,
as someone, as the queen of memes on the internet, I mean, this had to have provided you so much material going forward.
A little bit. I was cool with it.
Maybe the material kind of like speaks for itself. Like it's one of those things that like you can't really play off of. It just kind of is. And now it is in the ether of the internet. So,
but please, more of this though, because this has given us more of a conversation than anything else on the show. Okay. Like, let's just be real. All right.
Apollo Crews and Journal.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on from this, we got Sol Ruka's NXT debut. Good for her against Amari Miller. She showed some, you know, obviously it was a quick match. It was her debut. Fine. She showed some cool athletic ability. Good for her. She kind of reminded me a little bit about Tiffany Stratton when Tiffany Stratton first got started. And if she has any of the growth Tiffany Stratton had, this could be great for Sol Ruka. I'm liking her. I'm digging her vibe so far.
Yeah, I think she definitely fits almost like that same kind of athletic build that Tiffany Stratton's got. As far as her in-ring capability, I will say she looked exhausted at the end of that match because of all the flips that she was doing. She was doing somersaults, she was doing handstands. It was just like every 5 minutes, and I just was like, I saw her, and I was like, oh, like girl, like take a deep breath, like you got this, it's all good. Like hopefully, like. We can figure out a way to like, I don't want to say contain the offense, but hopefully like it doesn't wear her out too much and like put her in, like, hopefully she's not putting herself in danger as far as like that kind of unique offense and going to that well a lot. I liked the finisher, the kind of flip with the leg drop. I thought that was unique. And anyone who comes out to surf rock. Yeah. I love that. I love the vibe.
Right. And obviously, you know, she's just going to have to figure out how to incorporate it into her wrestling, hone it in, and, you know, so that it doesn't wear her out or, you know, all of that. This was her first match on NXT. So it's like, I'm cool. Like, you know, maybe if it wasn't like 100% perfect, whatever, like,
of course.
It's her first match. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, we'll see, you know, how she does moving forward and how she sharpens all of that. So far, I would say, like, for the most part, it being her debut was not terrible whatsoever. Cameron Grimes versus Joe Gacy. This was a quick match. Joe Gacy gets the win, obviously, with the help of the diet. Any thoughts on this?
I guess the diet and Joe Gacy needed a win. I kind of don't know where this puts Cameron Grimes. It was very oddly quick. I didn't expect that to be such a quick match after they'd really been spending a lot of weeks kind of building that feud. I was definitely surprised by the finish, but I guess as far as Gacy and where they're trying to go with their characters, it's definitely good for them. Not sure where this leaves Cameron Grimes. Again, I think we've discussed there's not much left for Cameron Grimes to really do down there.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I feel bad, but I feel like I have nothing to add about this. Like, they haven't given me enough to where I'm thinking like, oh, I have so much to say about this. I've got nothing. Control, copy, paste the exact same opinion that I had the week before and the week before about this. Yeah. I don't want to waste no more time on this. Nikita Lyons versus Kaden Carter. This was honestly not bad. I actually enjoyed this match. Nikita getting Kaden with a bunch of strikes. Kaden had a couple of good moments in here as well. Nikita hits her finisher. I forget what she calls it, but she gets, which did she call it, the roar? Or were they just saying like, she's showing her roar.
I'm not 100% sure on what her finisher is called, but it is her finisher. She goes to it every time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Nikita gets the win.
Indeed.
I thought this was solid for the most part. How did you feel about this?
I mean, they clearly know that there's like, there is so much potential in what they can do with Nikita Lyons that, you know, continuing her push is such a big part of this. I like her being tagged up with Zoe Stark. I thought, really, it was a good match between the two of them. I think, you know, hopefully this sets them up for a title match down the road. Maybe we have a little triple threat tag action as well. Let's see if Toxic Attraction gets in there too. I think that could be a fun way to kind of put all the eggs in one basket. Cause if we're going to keep Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction around, we might as well be using them. So we'll kind of see what happens next week with Nikita, Zoe, and then their match with Toxic Attraction. But it was a good match. I thought both had really good showings. I think Nikita continues to improve in the ring. And, you know, I think the sky is the limit for where they want to go with her.
Alrighty. Are you an Andre Chase fan? Have I asked you this?
I'm not particularly an Andre Chase fan. I think like it was funny the first couple of times, but now it's kind of the thing. But there sure was some interesting jabs in here.
So Andre Chase holds a pep rally and he basically announces that he's going to have a qualifier match against Von Wagner. And that's what the pep rally is all about. And then there's press at the pep rally. And he basically says like, okay, do we have any questions from the press? And there's a reporter and he says like, oh, the reporter's name is Dave. And the reporter asks a question. I forget what his question was, something about, you know, whether or not he believes that he can beat Von Wagner. And then Andre Chase basically goes off and he's like, who the F did you ever beat, Dave? You think that was a 5-star question? And then he goes on and talks a couple more smack. And then he closes this out with his teachable moment, little skit that he does. You know, it was funny because when this whole thing started, when they were doing the little thing and he said like, the reporter's name was Dave, or Dave said, like the reporter said his name was Dave. I was like, this can't be a coincidence. There's no way this is a coincidence. And then as it kept going, I was like, I knew this wasn't a coincidence. How did you feel about this pep rally?
Well, I guess when I heard that it was going to result in a match with Von Wagner, I can't say I was the most excited in the world. I mean, he should milk his win against Carmelo Hayes all he can, because, I mean, we talked about it last week. We were both like, huh? What? Really? Like, I thought that the Dave jab was fun. I think that was a fun little jab to throw in there, I guess. And the 5-star was clearly not a coincidence. I think we clearly know who he's talking about. You know, if they really wanted to go over the top, and I know that they don't usually like to take shots at the other company because
WWE. Oh, they took a shot on Monday.
They're the big boys on campus, right? So they don't need to be talking about lesser things. But you know, if Andre took a bite of a cupcake after he said that, I would have given them some bonus points for that.
He could have been like, let me see, what's another they could do? Dindy's, Findy's, Bindy's,
Chase Bakery on campus. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Make up some bakery name or something like that. That'd be funny.
Just be like, it's totally delicious. It's amazing. And only open like 2 days a week.
Well, there's definitely no coincidences in wrestling. After this, we got Ilya Dragunov versus Zion Quinn. I'm just going to be real with you. They haven't been building up Zion Quinn as much, so I didn't really see this match as a big deal. And they were, you know, trying to make it into a big deal. Like, Zion Quinn was supposed to be, like, this force to be reckoned with type of thing. I didn't see it that way. I love the combo work that Ilya Dragunov does. I mean, everything that Ilya did in this match was fun. It was great. He gets the win, but I just didn't really care for this match. Any thoughts on this?
No, I think it was just good to see Dragunov just kind of just back in his element. And just, you know, you see what, you know, for audiences that maybe, you know, weren't necessarily in tune to NXT UK, you see what he's all about. You know, you see the intensity that he does pretty much everything with, like his face, just watching his face in a match, like he makes you feel everything that's going on, like every bit of pain he's got going on. Every time he psychs himself up, it's just extremely physical how he reacts in the match. And I think that just, like, no matter who he's going against, just carries over well, and that's like gets you at least invested in the match. I thought, again, like when they had him interact with Zion Quinn backstage, it was kind of like but there's levels to this. I don't think you should be confronting Ilya Dragunov. I think, like, there's levels to this kid.
Yeah. So,
the matchup was kind of weird, but I guess just a good way to just, you know, have Dragunov have a kind of welcome back moment of being in the ring and just.
But that was it, though. That was really it. And that's the problem, though. Like, if you don't have enough of those competitors that you care about or that can pull, like, feel believable against Ilya Dragunov, like, you were just going to get a bunch of, like, you know, Zion Quinn, Ilya Dragunov type matches, you know, which isn't too great, but I mean, he'll pull it off, you know, he'll figure it out.
Right.
After this, we had Damon Kemp versus Brutus Creed. This was actually a match that I was looking forward to that never really got to take off. Obviously, you know, Damon Kemp went cray cray and he just starts like hitting Brutus with a bunch of the chair shots. And that's how pretty much this ends off. So I kind of feel like this was a tease. I never actually got the meat in this match that I wanted to get.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's we hope to get that instead when he goes against Julius. But yeah, I agree with you. I think we like, as far as kind of the story goes and kind of seeing the group kind of fizzle out, and I think this has been a good direction for them. It definitely kind of left meat on the bone. And I guess this is kind of when, where it is awkward that he has to kind of go through each of them one-on-one, just kind of, it kind of ruins the flow rather than it's just like, it's one match to kind of decide everything. So hopefully we get a little bit more of kind of what, you know, what we're looking for with Julius. But yeah, I agree with you. It's too bad it didn't really get to take off.
We did have a fun little moment where Quincy Elliott was giving advice to Sangha, which is happy because Sangha's always giving other people advice. Glad to see he has a friend.
They were, they, you know what? Their relationship's quite wholesome backstage. They were just, you know, it's very supportive. It was great.
Main event, Pub Rules match. We had Gallus versus Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. How did you feel about this match? I thought there were a couple of moments that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the whip stuff. I don't think anybody could not enjoy that. That was very entertaining to watch. You know, but I didn't really think there was, I mean, aside from the whips, aside from them doing the smashing of the, you know, the glasses on them, with Briggs and Jensen doing that, I kind of feel like there was nothing else that really stood out to me for this one. I think I don't know, like the name was cool. The idea could have been, I think, executed just a little bit more heavily.
I agree. Yeah, I feel like when they said Pub Rules match, I thought we were kind of going to get something a little bit more scripted and backstage. Like, I thought that's the kind of fight we were going to get. Not necessarily something that was...
Something more cinematic, maybe?
100%. Yeah, like, have it be in a bar. Like, legit. Like, have someone's head go into a dartboard. That's great. Like, let's actually, if we're going to go Pub Rules, let's not just make it... I mean, essentially what it ended up being was it was dressed up as just a hardcore match, which is fine. Like, that gets the point across.
But it's not really like what you thought. Like, you know, if you had like a whole vision for what this could have been, you know,
it was pretty much like the vision ended up just kind of being like the entrance ramp will have some kegs with some glasses with some beer in it, but we won't use it, which I was very disappointed with. I thought someone was going to get beer poured on them. Like, it's Pub Rules. Like, you're in a bar fight, make it a bar fight. Instead, why, we're pulling out tables and chairs and it looks like a hardcore match. So it was a little, it was definitely like, it was odd. It was, there was a juxtaposition there that was a little weird. And the, and I thought like the finish was like, I liked the trash can spot was fun, but the guy just kind of running into the table was kind of silly. But I guess we put the tables in there. So we were kind of waiting like, okay, we're just all the tables. So I don't know. It felt kind of hokey to me. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, just call it a hardcore match, and they could have, there's a lot more meat on that bone that they could have done something with.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like I was kind of pumped for it when they made the announcement, but then it just ended up being, like you said, a hardcore match, and that was pretty much what it was. But I mean, other than that, I guess it was fine. You know, I did like the big, you know, brawl at the end. It did feel like kind of fun, you know, seeing the big beefy guys get arrested and taken out. All of that was harmless, I guess you can say. So it was a fine way to close out the show, you know, continue the story with, you know, all four guys involved. So it was fine. Overall, a pretty okay episode of NXT. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what we get next week, you know. Cole, before we wrap this up, I want to thank you so much as always for like literally coming on here and like helping me do today's show. I really, really appreciate you for coming on, especially last minute when I text you like at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's what you're like. I'm literally texting you at 5 a.m. saying, can you be on the show?
I just wake up. I'm like, wait, go back to bed. What are you doing, Denise? Gosh, what's going on?
Yeah, it was like, it was the first thing I did when I woke up. I was like, text Cole, be on show today.
I'm always happy to be here for you, my friend. I have so much fun talking wrestling with you, as you know. So this is always a blast to do. And I hope everybody else out there who joined us in the chat, I hope you also had a good time.
As Zeno Hour says that the NXT Twitter account tweeted that Gallus are suspended indefinitely for hitting officials, and people are falling for the work. Unless they just like randomly show up on like Raw or SmackDown. Oh, we were suspended indefinitely. I don't know, man. All right, well, that's good to know.
I mean, you know, hey, I'm surprised, you know, for all things that happen on NXT and for this to be like pub rules, like, why didn't we just do this in the most dangerous spot in all of professional sports entertainment? The parking lot. Why don't we just do it there?
Could have done it there. Dude, for reals. It's for reals.
And then, like, hit all the refs you want.
There you go. All righty, everyone. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I will be back tomorrow to chat AEW Dynamite. I have no idea who I'm going to have as a co-host because I didn't think I was going to need a co-host for tomorrow. And Cole, you're going on your date, even though I told you just go on your date. And then afterwards, I was like, wait, oh, wow. Too bad Cole's now on his date.
I mean, you know, look.
Unless you want to bring your date along. You'd be like, no. Hey, you want to go on a date to go do a live stream?
I mean, this
is bring your date into the stream.
Boy, what a first impression.
Our date is going to be a live streaming experience.
Jesus.
Everybody's wishing you good luck, by the way. Where are you guys going on your date?
I don't know. It's somewhere up in Santa Monica. So,
oh, fancy.
I don't know where. No one.
Dinner?
Boardwalk? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. We'll see.
Let me give you a little bit of advice. All right. A woman, just want to throw this out, for the first date is going to be definitely flattered if you come in with a plan. So if she's like, where are we going? What are we doing? You should be like, so babe, like this is, well, don't call her babe on the first date. That's just rude. But be like, so, you know, Jane Doe, this is where we're going. If you want to go, this is what we got planned. It's a really great so-and-so. You know, just add a little sugar to it.
I understand what you're saying, but I've also teed this up as like, I'm kind of new in town, so I also kind of want to get a
confidence,
little
Cole. So confidence.
I am confident, Denise. Why did I tell you before the show? And now
this is what you need to know. If anybody tells me about their love life, I will ask questions and I will inquire.
Well, I know that. I know you're going to ask questions. And of course, like I will be asking for any kind of unfiltered advice from you today. I just didn't quite understand that when we were going to talk NXT 2.0, 3.0, 2.0 electric boogaloo, 33% chance
of
winning.
Are you afraid your date's watching the show?
I don't think so, but I don't know. It's the internet, Denise. Anything's possible out there. So, you know, I don't know. I thought we were just going to be talking some wrestling, Denise.
And I'm just putting you on the spot. That's what I do, Cole.
I'm a little bit on the spot, Denise. I'm okay.
All right. Well, good luck on your date tomorrow. Remember, confidence.
I got
Swagger.
I got you.
And you'll knock it out of the park.
And then if not, I'll hang out with Apollo Crews and we'll do some journaling together.
Yeah, you guys can cry about your bloody hearts and bloody eyes. I don't know. That was weird.
There's a lot of things that Apollo Crews and I apparently need to work through. So
yeah, seriously.
We're gonna do it together.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for watching. As always, I'll see you back here tomorrow. Until next time, bye everyone.